Om Shri Sai Ram. Sai Ram to you all, dear listeners. Welcome to this Vahini Satsang. And if you have been following us, you will know that we have been taking chapter by chapter, in fact, section by section of each chapter. And we are trying to discuss and elaborate and draw analogies and draw lessons from various other discourses that Swami has given. And it has been a common experience that every sentence is an Upanishad as we have gone through this Vahini. And I think that's the case with every Vahini. In the last session, we had done chapter 28, the first part of chapter 28. And we pray to Swami to help us to conclude this chapter today with part 2 of this chapter. I am Sai Prakash from Team Radio Sai, and with me is Brother Srinivas Rao. For those who have heard the discussion last week, you will remember that Sir had joined us in the discussion last week as well. Before I play the section, part 2 of this chapter, maybe I thought I'll just give it a context of what Swami is talking about in this chapter. And the chapter in the English version of the Prema Vahini is chapter 28. The title of this chapter is A Good Character is the Jewel of Human Life. And it's very interesting that this topic has, the caption is A Good Character is the Jewel of Human Life. While in the entire lesson, in the entire chapter, we really don't find Swami talking much about the character aspect of it. Yes. Swami is actually talking about purpose of human life. Mm-hmm. And Swami is talking about the importance of human life. And we will visit back some points from last week's discussion, because it is like one flow. This entire chapter is like one flow in which Swami...
Continuity sake.
But just to put broad headlines to what we discussed last week, it is about the uniqueness of the human birth and how Swami says, having got this human birth, you should use it appropriately to achieve that realization, to go towards that goal, which the human birth is meant to give you. So, Swami gives several quotes from the Upanishads, and then he says how, the human birth itself is meant for this purpose. And he says anybody that who is not following, who is not inspired to take up this path, does not befit being called a human being. That was, I think, in short, that is what Swami spoke. Swami wrote about, and we discussed that last week. Dear listeners, we will just listen to the second half of this chapter and pray to Swami to help us understand and assimilate the rest of the chapter.
Anitya, asatyamaina prakriti chapalyamulaku lonai pavitra kalamunu paadu chesukunaka సత్య నిత్యమైన సర్వేశ్వర చింతనకు సత్యాన్వేషణ కొరకు సర్వకాలమును వినియోగింపుడు. అట్టిదే ఆత్మసంబంధం కాని కాలమును వ్యామోహకరమైన చాపల్యమునకు ధారపోసినా లోక వ్యాపార బంధము ఏర్పడు. లోకమున భోగ పదార్థములను చూచియు విషతుల్యులను సౌందర్య లాలిత్యముల ద్వారా వలలో వేసుకొన చూచు ముగ్ధులను చూసి ముగ్ధులై అతఃపతనము పొందబోకుడు. స్వప్నకథవలే ఒకనాడు ఈ ప్రాపంచిక దృశ్యములు మానవునకు దూరమై హుళక్కిగా మారిపోవును. మానవుడు విద్య కాని మరేదైనను ఒక్కటేమి పుట్టినప్పటి నుండి ఏ సంబంధములతో పెరిగి పెద్దవాడైనాడో ఆయా సంబంధములు వాని ఆత్మోద్ధరణకు ఉపయోగపడునవి కావు. అవి అతఃపతనమునకు మాత్రమే ఉపయోగపడును. అందువలనే ఇది మాయా ప్రపంచము అనుట సంభవించినది. సత్యమును ఎన్ని మాయలలో తోసినను అది నిత్య సత్యమై మరింత దేదీప్యమానముగా వెలుగును. అట్టిదే సత్యము. నిమిష నిమిషమునకు మార్పు చెందుచు క్షీణించుచు కృషించుచు అదృశ్యముకు చాపల్యముతో నిండిన పదార్థ ప్రపంచము ఎట్లు నిత్య సత్యమగునని చెప్పగలరు? కాన నిత్యం కాని ఈ లోకమున మిథ్యను వెతకుటకన్నా సత్యమును సాధించుటే సాధకుని లక్షణము. మిథ్యాలోకమున మిథ్యాచారములే కాని సత్యాచారములు లేవు. సత్యాచారములు సర్వేశ్వర సాక్షాత్కారమందే ఉన్నవి. ఈ విషయములను మాత్రము సర్వవేళలయందు ప్రతి మానవుడు జ్ఞప్తియందు ఉంచుకొనవలెను.
Instead of getting enslaved to the evanescent and the false,
and wasting precious time in their pursuit. Dedicate every minute to the discovery of the truth and in the contemplation of the everlasting, ever true Lord. Such dedication is the real function of the soul. The spending of time in illusory appetites, on the other hand, is the drag of the world. One should not fall a victim to the poisonous attractions of worldly luxuries or the wiles of seductive beauty. One day all these scenes of the physical world will vanish, as a story unfolded in a dream. Whatever happens to man since his birth, be it education or building various relationships as he grows, all these are not of use for his spiritual progress. In fact, they will bring about only his spiritual downfall. That is why this is called Maya Prapancha, the world of illusion. No matter in whatever Maya you thrust truth into, it will only shine more effulgently, for such is the ever eternal nature of truth. How can we say that the objective world, undergoing modifications every minute, waning and wasting with the waywardness of appearing and disappearing, is eternal truth? So the characteristic of a sadhaka is the attainment of truth, not the search of the unreal in this evanescent world. In this false world, there can be no satyachara or true living. There can only be mithyachara, unreal living. True living consists in the realization of the Lord. This must be borne in mind by every man, every moment of his life.
So that's the segment 28.2, chapter 28, second segment in this chapter. Here, Swami is continuing the topic of, you know, pursuit of truth in life. What is the purpose of life? Swami is saying, I think you have to pursue the truth and you have to strive to achieve and know that truth. But here, the first point Swami is bringing about is every moment of your life, you have to use this precious time in this pursuit and the discovery of truth.
Yes.
So that's a very interesting point, because time is, I think, easily the first thing that we all take for granted. Because, you know, it just passes. You're not even aware of what's happening. By the time you realize a month has passed, a year has passed, and for me personally, 17 years have passed in Radio Sai. I mean, I was just thinking about it. And for you, sir, when did you join the hospital?
1995.
My God.
Even I cannot believe.
You can't believe that.
Nearly 25 years.
My goodness.
Never thought that we would be spending so many years at the Divine Lotus Feet, and the time just flies.
Absolutely.
And Swami was always cautioning us, time waste is life waste.
Right.
Do not waste even a single moment. You do not know completely. You must utilize the opportunity that you have got to spend your time at the Divine Lotus Feet, actually.
Actually, when Swami says that, you know, you should not waste time. Every moment should be dedicated towards the discovery of the truth. When you read this sentence, what are the thoughts that come to you? How is it possible? You think it's possible in the first place?
See, when I first joined in 1979, the very first discourse that Swami gave to the students in the old hostel, second floor.
Okay.
In those days, Swami used to climb up the stairs and come and give talks on Sundays.
Wow.
The very first discourse, Swami said that I am like Mother Yashoda.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Yashoda kept butter in one hand,
right,
and kept the cane hidden behind her in the other hand.
Correct.
Knowing fully well that Krishna is attracted to the butter, and once Krishna comes near, she will catch hold of him and give him a beating,
right,
for stealing butter from every home here.
Yes.
And Swami said, likewise, I have started these educational institutions. giving you secular knowledge. You are attracted to this secular knowledge. Attracting you with this, I catch hold of you and give you a spiritual beating.
Oh, beautiful.
So, what we thought that we have come here for some education, for some degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But we never knew that we would be ending up in the hands of the Lord and learning the spiritual truths.
Atma Jnana.
Atma Jnanam.
Beautiful, sir.
It says, Atma Vidya Vidyanam.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said, in Telugu, the Swami is saying, Chatta Chadavulu Chadavi Chavanganetiki Chavuleni Chadavu Chadavaraya. So, why do you study these kind of bookish knowledge, acquire this bookish knowledge? Acquire that knowledge which will take you beyond death and deathless state.
In fact, that is a very important point Swami makes in the few lines later, where he says this education, this relationship, this, you know, bandham, all that you have built up is absolutely of no value in the pursuit of spirituality.
Yes. One Swami said to Swami Karunyananda,
mm-hmm.
I don't understand the madness of these youngsters towards this kind of education.
Okay.
He said, if only they apply and have so much interest and attention towards God,
mm-hmm.
and spiritual matters,
mm-hmm.
they will progress much more in life. They do not understand the value of this.
Mm.
This secular knowledge and education will not take them very far.
Beautiful. In fact, I mentioned this several times on air, but I can't help repeating it because once Swami asked me before I joined the studio, he asked, Nuvedu MBBS chadutanantive, you wanted to study some MBBS, what
mm-hmm.
happened to that?
Mm-hmm.
You said you will study some MBBS, I was a bioscience student.
Okay.
Then instantly I said, Swami to undatanki evana chadutan. I am ready to study anything in order to stay with Swami.
See, once you taste Swami, you just completely forget about what you have come here for, that is namely this worldly education. That is that becomes a secondary for us actually.
But the beauty is the answer Swami gave.
Yes.
Swami said, Ray, Swami to undatanki chadu avasrama, he asked.
I'll tell you something more interesting.
Yes.
In the early days, there was only the intermediate education in Swami's college.
Yes.
Then came the degree college.
Mm-hmm.
Then came the post-graduation. And some of the students who knew very well that beyond that undergraduation, there is no studies here,
mm-hmm.
would deliberately fail in the final year to stay on with Swami.
To stay one more year.
There are any number of students who have done this. And the beauty and the benefit of, having not passed in the examination is that you don't have to. Those days we had annual exams only,
mm-hmm.
Yearly ones.
Mm.
So the whole of the year, you are seated in the veranda having Swami's darshan.
Throughout the year.
Yes, throughout the year. And only at the end of the year, you just go and write one exam. Swami knows very well that these boys have deliberately probably failed.
Wow.
But Swami encouraged, indirectly encouraged.
He didn't mind it
because he will compensate for your whatever you think is a loss. That is not at all a big issue for Swami.
Okay.
Swami knows how to compensate you in worldly life. Many of my colleagues and classmates started so late in life,
mm-hmm.
and all are well settled.
Right.
There is not a single student of Swami struggling for livelihood in.
Mm-hmm.
Even very ordinary education that they receive, qualifications that they gained here with just a degree, all are doing extremely well. So, Swami said that these are not important, this is nothing for me.
That's all.
I will even go and tell you for one more instance, if you don't mind.
Yes, please.
One Swami asked one chartered accountant, ask for something.
Uh-huh.
And he said, Swami, you have given me everything, what should I ask for you, from you? And Swami said, no, ask something I want to give you. Then he thought for a while and said, Swami, I have two daughters for marriage.
Uh-huh.
Only if at the time of their marriage, if you help me financially, that is more than enough.
Oh.
I'll be glad for that.
Mm.
And Swami said, ask for anything other than money.
Ah.
Because I am Lakshmi Swarupa. And whoever comes to me, the first thing I bestow is finance.
Wow.
I take care of their worldly requirements and needs. Mm. That is not at all important.
That for is
me.
Done.
That is done. But what you have come, Swami says, I come to give you what you ask for, so that one day you ask for what I have come to give.
Absolutely.
That is spiritual Atma Vidya. He has come to give realization itself.
Correct.
And he encouraged all of us to ask. May Swami will ask, you know, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And we all keep quiet and we say, Swami, we want you.
Mm.
Not really knowing what we were saying.
Correct.
But it meant a lot for Swami.
Mm.
Because he can give you only when you ask. And he made you ask.
Beautiful.
Mm. Swami, I want you.
Mm.
And hearing that, Swami feels so happy. Because he knows very well you have asked for what is to be asked.
What is to be asked.
Ask what is to be asked.
Very beautiful.
Know what is to be known.
Mm-hmm. In fact, in the olden days, some of the old devotees, like, because here Swami is saying pursuit of truth and purpose of life is to realize the truth and all that. This was very prevalent in the minds of the devotees who came in the early, 60s. And
yes.
Because nothing else was there here in Prashanthi Limited. It was only spiritual. And so they were purely sadhakas who came for that kind of spiritual enlightenment. So one day, this Karunamba, who wrote the book Satyasa Anandadai, so Kannamma, she is Swami. Mm-hmm. So she asked Swami, Swami, what is this whole tamasha going on? Swami asked, what? Every day you are coming for darshan. You are giving darshan, you are going. We are coming, we are seeing darshan, we are having. This moksha and all that, will anything happen to us?
Mm-hmm.
So she said, Swami, what will happen? What are we gaining by doing this every day?
Okay.
Swami said, don't worry about the result. Don't worry about what the end is.
Mm-hmm.
You come every day for darshan.
Mm.
Giving you moksha is like the snap of a finger.
Yes.
Swami said, one day it will come when I will be in a very good mood.
Mm-hmm.
The moment I come out, whomever I look at, they will get liberation.
Okay.
That's all for me.
Mm-hmm.
1 second I can look at that person, he will be liberated.
Oh.
But I will not tell when that day will come.
Oh.
That day will come spontaneously. So if you have to be there on that day, you have to be fortunate on that day, you have to come regularly.
I also heard someone say, one Swami said, it seems, that on whomsoever my glance has fallen even for once, even by mistake, I am responsible till the end of the journey of his soul.
Wow.
And the end of journey is...
of the soul.
Of the soul.
Not this lifetime.
End is what? Moksham itself.
Wow. One glance.
So when one glance.
My God.
He has come to give nothing less than that, actually.
Mm. So that means that's it. Whether in this lifetime or lifetimes to come, once he has looked at you, you are under his.
Absolutely.
Wow. That's suddenly feels and, so reassuring.
You know, I'll tell the listeners something very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
On the Sundays, we used to come for darshan, all the hostel boys. So because being a holiday. And so Swami comes out for darshan and sees a little surprising look he gives and says, oh, today is Sunday for you.
Mm.
No Sunday for me.
Correct.
He said.
Mm.
And then he said, see, the moment the Sundays come, Professor Kasturi will be after me.
Mm-hmm.
He will ask, he'll be waiting for me to give the articles for Sanatana Sarathi.
Okay.
And Sanatana Sarathi articles are the ones Swami used to write for these Vahinis.
Vahinis, exactly. Correct.
And these Vahinis are compilation of those articles, actually.
Correct. Absolutely.
One after the other, series of writing Swami gave to Sanatana Sarathi.
Mm.
And today I'm so fortunate, I cannot believe my fortune, that I could be doing adhyayanam of those Vahinis. Really, this is the thought I got just the other day.
Just try to picture, because there is one photograph of Swami sitting on that small parapet wall in old bungalow in Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just sitting with a pad on his lap and he's writing this article.
Okay.
And whenever you touch this book, Vahini, any Vahini, that image comes, when Swami is just very casually sitting and then writing.
And also during my student days, honestly speaking, when I was reading this kind of Prema Vahini, and this is very, it was hi-fi for me.
Very deep.
It didn't make much this thing for me. Understanding was very difficult. So I gave up on some of the, except Bhagavata Vahini, which is like a story.
Story, yes, yes.
But the other ones, I found it very difficult. And at that time, Swami used to say that you will know the value of what I have put into you later when the seeds that I have sown into you bloom and blossom and flower in you. You will know the value of what I have put into you. And today when I read each sentence, each line, each paragraph as I read, so many parallel thoughts are coming to me.
Absolutely.
I do not know how best to describe what Swami is saying there.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what every sentence leads branches out into so many different thoughts. And sir, the beauty with this kind of satsang that we are having actually is the fulfillment of every line that you're reading here, we have seen in our own lives with Swami.
Yes.
See, for example, here Swami is saying pursuit of truth, pursuit of realization. But what is the method in which Swami wanted us to do that? Does he, did he say that leave everything and go and sit in the Himalayas? He was totally against that. In fact, there is that beautiful story incident which happened again in the early and the late 60s. There was one young sannyasi who came. Who came to Swami and he says, Swami, I want nothing else in this world. I want only the ultimate goal of human life, moksha, I want realization. And then Swami called him and said, first you remove this orange dress and wear your normal dress and go back home. And he was surprised. He said, Swami, but I want that. Swami said, first duty is towards your mother. You are the only son and your mother is alone. And she is elderly. And if you do not serve your mother, her tears, when she is shedding tears, you think I will give you liberation. First you go and do your duty.
Yes.
So the whole approach to this spiritual life, to the spiritual pursuit, was given a completely new perspective by Bhagwan. He says, be in the world but not of the world.
Yes.
I think that is what Swami has driven.
See,
again and again.
There is what is called the Jivanopadi and the Jivita Paramavidhi.
Correct.
Jivanopadi is for your daily existence.
Correct.
That little job, some little money. Swami never said discard all that.
Correct.
Give up all that and then take sannyasa. Jivita Paramavidhi. While living in the world, you have to divinize the world with your wisdom. Understand this. Don't limit God to concepts.
Correct.
And Swami also said you have to think not in this mental logic wise. In fact, spiritual logic is the highest logic.
Correct. Very true. Very
mathematical
true.
Logic is of no comparison to this logic actually.
Absolutely.
One person in the ashram, he was telling me, he had a little paralytic stroke.
Okay.
And he was a very well-learned man with the Upanishads and Vedas, everything he had learned. So I went to just pay a visit to him. And then with a little slurred speech, he said, maybe my body is down on the bed and I'm not able to even speak clearly. But I will tell you the clarity with which I am going through this. I'm totally above my body, totally above suffering, not even a inch of, not even a bit of suffering is there. It is because I have already gone through the Upanishads and Vedas, which has helped me to transcend life.
My goodness. Wow.
So, Swami makes you go through the life, and these spiritual concepts are not the bookish concept. They are all very much relevant to life and existence.
Absolutely.
So, Swami says, You use all education to develop your mind, and the same mind becomes your undoing tomorrow. And Swami says, man minus mind. Think logically. If you remove minus, if you minus mind from man he becomes God.
God.
It is as simple as that. God is not something somewhere.
Correct. No, very true.
This is how, you know, he put this small truths and made us grow with such wonderful explanations he used to give to us. In a way we can understand.
Absolutely. Sir, I remember last time and even during the Sai Sannidhi day, you mentioned that very beautiful incident where Swami said, "I don't think. There are no thoughts." You know, that, I think, please.
He said, "Naku yochanante evito telidu."
My God.
Meer edo manasu varisu ani cheptaru. I will tell in Telugu first and then repeat it in English. Naku yochanante emo telidu. Nenu entante, entamatram ante, ఎవరికైనా విభూతి ఇచ్చాను అంటే నేను అట్లా నడిచిపోతాను దర్శనంలో, ఆ వ్యక్తి దగ్గర వచ్చేసరికి నా చెయ్యి ఇలా కదులుతుంది, విభూతి ఇస్తాను, ముందుకు వెళ్ళిపోతాను, వెనక్కి తిరిగి చూడను కూడా ఎవరికి ఇచ్చాను. ఐ డు నాట్ నో వాట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ టు థింక్ సో మచ్ సో దట్ ఐ డోంట్ నాట్ ఈవెన్ థింక్ టు హూమ్ ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు గివ్ విభూతి. ఐ గో ఇన్ ద దర్శన్ and as I reach the person, my hand moves and I give vibhuti and go ahead, move on, and I don't even look back to see to whom I have given vibhuti. And for otherwise, you know, if you can, if you want to think and do these things, is it possible?
Impossible.
How many memories he created for so many millions of people with the thinking, because, and you know what, the beauty is, that when Swami talks to you, you feel as though Swami has been thinking of you the whole day, and he is going to think of you the whole day.
Perfect, exactly.
And each person thinks like that.
Correct.
How is it possible for someone to think and do these things? Not possible.
It is absolutely spontaneous in that moment, 100%, that's it.
Absolutely. We just don't understand him, and he himself knows very well. You know that you don't try to even understand me, he said.
Correct, correct.
Even if you put your head down and feet up and do tapasya, you will not understand my ways. Better enjoy me. In fact, he said, if you try to understand me, you'll go mad. It's dangerous. Don't try to understand what he says, why he says, what he does, why he does. No.
So powerful,
only now we understand actually the depth of what Swami used to say those days. So and some of the biggest truths he used to reveal in a very casual conversation on the veranda to the smallest of the child there.
Correct
And the child does not forget that.
Correct. It is there somewhere.
Even one word uttered by Swami is not forgotten by the one to whom he has uttered this. Even a simple word like manchidi, bangaru, every word, how can it possible unless the consciousness is speaking?
Correct.
There's it's not direct, the human mind at all.
There's
no.
Direct.
Heart to heart conversation. I always felt when I look at Swami, he is just the concrete form of the love in us.
Beautiful.
Nothing short of that.
Beautiful. In fact, if we look at all these episodes in our lives and our interaction with Swami, that moment when you are 100% tuned to Swami, that is only liberation. You know, in a sense, that is moksha, because in that moment, you are not bound to anything else. You are bound, imagine that when Swami is looking intently into your eyes and standing in front of you, can any other thought pass your mind?
As you said earlier, just a while ago, that early days, Swami had lots of spiritual seekers, actually.
Correct.
Those who knew him as God. And they used to enjoy his proximity. Then at some stage, Swami would have thought that I should give myself to everybody. See, God is, Bhagavan is for everybody. No?
Right.
So then maybe he thought of opening this college.
College and institute.
Then in the name of education, lots of us get attracted to this institution, and then they come, we think of receiving secular education, we end up getting this. So then he started hospitals,
right?
Because he did not end up with just students. So people from all walks of life have to be attracted. So in the university, not just the students, the professors, educationists, then in the hospitals, when Swami started, there will be doctors, the medical fraternity. These are all the people attracted from all walks of life, and all are benefiting from this kind of institutions.
Absolutely. And like you said, that one glance.
Yes.
There's another beautiful episode which comes to mind. It is one of the old devotees again. She asked Swami, how is it that when I go to any other ashram, they used to get proximity to Swami. Mm-hmm. And Swami was freely. So they said, Swami, when I go to any other ashram, I find lot of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a fact. Yes. She said, Swami, I find lot of peace. I do meditation. I feel. When I come to Prashant Nilayam, it's totally opposite. And she said, Swami, there are so many challenges in Prashant Nilayam because somebody is raising their voice. Somebody is, scolding me without any logical this thing. Somebody is blaming me. Somebody is putting me through so many difficulties. Why is it so? They directly asked Swami, and Swami's answer is phenomenal. Swami said, see, that is the power I have put in this place. He said, the moment you step on this holiest of places, Prashant Nilayam, he said, all the innate negativities come out. I start the cleaning process.
Yes,
moment you get your car to the workshop, the mechanic is not going to admire your car and say, oh, beautiful car. He'll take the hammer and first start hammering, tinkering it.
Yeah.
So he says, the moment you come to Prashant Nilayam, the cleansing process starts.
Yes.
Cleansing process starts. So what happens? Everybody is getting cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is on that path.
Mm-hmm.
So all the negativities have to fall, like the halahala has to come out first.
Mm-hmm.
All the anger which is inside, all the hatred, all the complexes, all those things have to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think in this, see, this is also a very beautiful training ground for us to focus only on Swami.
Mm-hmm.
You should accept everything. Like, suppose somebody is scolding at you and you feel that you do not deserve it.
Yeah.
In a way, actually, it gets more exaggerated in Prashant Nilayam.
Yes.
Because things happen so fast.
One Swami said that there is a invisible software in place in this place.
Oh.
He has put a software in place.
Wow.
He says, which he takes care of each individual according to his nature.
Beautiful, beautiful.
When you come here, you be careful about what you ask. Because what you ask is given. But beware, comes along with it are the consequences.
Correct.
Because you ask for it, you are given. You have to go through the consequences. And also, you're talking about the disturbances that one goes through here in Puttaparthi. Something very, very profound happened in my life only.
Oh, wow.
I was also at one time little disturbed.
Mm.
I said, when I have come to this Puttaparthi place to enjoy the peace, why is it that I have to go through this? In fact, I thought that I am a repaired car in this workshop and I should move out. Why should I bear the noise of other cars getting repaired?
Wow, that's a great thought.
And my father immediately corrected me saying, the fact that you are complaining about the noise of other cars getting repaired shows you are not fully repaired. And continuing this only, I was sitting in Vrindavan Ramesh Hall. I was in the fourth row.
Okay.
On the first row, there was some Westerner reading a book, actually. Swami was still not come out for darshan in the morning at about 8:45, 9. And the person was reading a book holding in his hand. Four rows behind, I was sitting and I could my eyes fell on one paragraph.
Okay.
It's more than 25 years. I can recall those four lines very vividly without forgetting a single word. Which is very profound in this context, as you said. Because I did not even know what book he was reading and which chapter or what is it. It is certainly about Swami only.
Mm-hmm.
The four lines start like this, go like this. It says, Prashant Nilayam is not a place of peace.
Okay.
I'm sure it is Swami's words only. It's a place of turbulence. But at the end of it, you will develop equanimity, which is essential for liberation.
Wow.
That still rings in my ears, and it is full of so much meaning to life. That equanimity is what is most important. One goes through everything in life only for that purpose, to develop equanimity. All the trials and tribulations, just because we have come to Swami does not mean all these things will end. But your ability to endure those good and bad times, both things, one must be equaled.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Wonderful message for me.
In fact, here when Swami says, this is Maya Prapancha.
Yes.
This is Maya Prapancha. And he says, how do you know that this is Maya Prapancha? Because it is changing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It undergoes so much modification. He says, the truth as such will only shine in spite of all the changes, in spite of whatever you see. The truth only shines. That, in a sense, is what we experience here in Prashanthi Nilayam. Because you hold on to that truth of Swami, everything else you start looking at as, you know, coming and going, as something very temporary.
I won't be wrong in saying here that every time people criticize Swami, sometimes, you know, it does happen in public or whatever, because of their lack of understanding. Simply some unwise people, they talk something. Every time a calamity befall the place, or every time there was a criticism of Swami, we think that, oh, this is the end of it all. I have seen it unfailingly, his glory only increased. To the nooks and corners which he has not reached, he reaches out through bad news. People look for bad news, something, you know, that attracts them. Oh, some bloodshed, something happened. What is it? Satya Sai Baba. The moment you utter those words and read those words on the newspapers, he gets an opening. And he reaches out to people, and people will understand that what is the truth. Maybe this is what somebody is saying, but truth must be something else. This is how I interpret when what he said here. No matter in whatever maya you thrust truth into, it will only show and shine more effulgently. For such is the ever eternal nature of truth. I can't quote a better example than Swami's own life.
Absolutely, sir. Very beautiful.
His name is Satya, and he has come to reveal himself.
That's it. That's it.
Yes.
And you know, it's so beautiful because he says the only thing you have to be attuned to is that truth.
Yes.
And that truth is nothing other than Swami.
Yes. In fact, Swami even said, even if the entire world is on one side, and I am alone on the other side, victory will be mine.
Wow.
He said this in one interview to four or five of us. I don't know what made him say that.
Just
because he also feels the pulse of the world, know what's happening, how the people react. And he said also, if it does not happen, I will make it happen.
My God.
I tell you.
My God, how powerful. Wow.
Even if the entire world is against on one side and I alone on the other side, victory will be mine. If it does not happen, I will make it happen. Who else can talk?
Who can talk like this?
Who will unnecessarily rake up these unwise people? Because he wants them to hit their heads against him.
Mm-hmm.
Only then they will wake up. Swami has taken upon himself to pull everybody out of his den actually.
Like, you know, here only he's saying that it is all like all these fascinating scenes will vanish like it was in a dream. The moment you start seeing the truth, the moment you start connecting to the truth, this Maya will vanish like it is in a dream. There is a beautiful story which Swami told us in one of those Pune Chandra Hall sessions. You know, Swami would call when we were in our 8th and 9th in the 91-92 winter vacation time, immediately after Dashara. Now Dashara is going on. Immediately after Dashara, there would be winter vacations.
Yes.
And we as schoolboys who stayed back, we would go to the Pune Chandra Hall to pack the vibhuti from the Yajna Kundam.
Okay.
See, Yajna Kundam, the vibhuti will be given. We used to pack it into packets.
Okay.
That was just an excuse to go there. And Swami will come out. into the Purnachandra Hall, and so he will come, give tiffin, give this, give that, and he would sit and talk for some time. So that slowly grew into what we call the PC sessions, Purnachandra sessions. So like Thrai sessions in Vrindavan.
Yes, actually.
So Swami would come and talk. In one of those, he gave this beautiful story about Kartavirya Arjuna, the king Kartavirya Arjuna. Like here, because Swami is saying, it will all vanish like in a dream. This whole world will vanish. Swami gives the episode of how Kartavirya Arjuna is actually going in search of his guru, Guru Dattatreya. So he realizes that Guru Dattatreya is his guru. And he goes through the forest after forest searching for him. And finally he goes to a place where he's totally shocked. He knows that this is where the Guru Dattatreya's ashram is. And outside the ashram, he sees all drunkards. He sees all dogs. And he sees people drinking and laughing and making merry and shouting and this and that. And he goes and asks them, is this the ashram of Guru Dattatreya? They laugh at him. They said, have you gone mad? You are calling that fellow Guru? And you should hear Swami saying that. Oh, Atani Guru, you're calling him Guru. He must be somewhere there with all the women. He says that.
Yes.
And then there are all these drunkards, there are people, and then he says he must be inside. So he goes inside. And he goes inside. Inside is even worse.
Yes.
And he says, there are people in very compromising positions and activities, and it is like purely like a red light area.
Yeah.
And Dattatreya is also there. And he is also involved in drinking. He's also involved in so many things.
He's seen to be. Yes.
He's seen to be in that thing, and he goes and holds his feet.
Yes.
He catches his feet and he says, Guru, you have to give me the wisdom. He kicks him. He says, what are you coming here? I think you have come to wrong address.
Yes.
Then again he goes back and he holds his feet. He said, you do whatever you want. I am not moving from here.
Yes.
Then in one instant, everything vanishes.
Avadhuta Gita.
Exactly.
If you read, you will understand that everything is God actually. All this Maya is also God.
Beautiful.
All this world. See, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. Brahma is the truth. World is the false. But Brahman is the world. Again.
Correct.
There is nothing other than Brahman, other than God himself. How can you differentiate? Who are you to say this is spirituality, that is not spiritual? That is what actually Lord Dattatreya wants to teach to his disciple, that one has to go, rise above, transcend this, not confine God to this is only thing, something holy or unholy. No such distinctions have to be made.
Even in that, in everything, the moment you start seeing it as God, then only God will respond.
Yes.
Through everything.
Yes. There is no you actually. There is no you. There is only him.
Very beautiful.
See, and ultimately, what matters is how spiritual you are. Isn't it? How much we understood the place of God in our life and existence. That's what matters. All that we go through finally boils down to only this. See, one may be a managing director of a company. But he is nothing when he compares himself with the managing director of a multinational company.
Correct.
And that multinational CEO is nothing when compared to the prime minister of a country.
Correct.
So like that, if you see, there is no end to this actually.
Hierarchy, yes.
Hierarchy is Maya. So then Swami also gives the other example. In this vast universe, the galaxies, the stars. In that, how big is your Asia? And in Asia, how big is your country, India? And in India, how big is Andhra Pradesh? In Andhra Pradesh, how big is Anantapur district? In Anantapur district, how big is your ashram? And in ashram, how big are you? And what do you think of yourself? No end.
No, very true.
You can even go on to question the existence of God itself. That is how man can be.
In fact, these are the exact words Swami even tells Dr. John Hislop in the book Conversations with. He gives this exact same thing. He says, what is that ego? What are you so proud about? What are you so, mad after?
Mm-hmm.
And even in that book, Dr. John Islip asks several beautiful questions. And he says, Swami, see, the beauty in knowing something theoretically versus actually living it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying that equanimity.
Yes.
Is the kind of reflection of a person who has reached that state.
Yes.
So when you are in that state of oneness with that truth, how will you live in your daily life? You will be equanimous.
Yes.
And Swami tells Dr. John Islip also the same thing. He says, John Islip asks Swami, you are talking about realization, you are talking about I am Atma, I am one with the truth. I understand all that. So am I a realized person? He says, no. When you go out on the road, when you feel one with the person who is undergoing pain.
Yes.
Not know that that person is undergoing. You should feel the pain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You are one with that person.
Yes.
Then you have reached.
Yes.
So, the manifestation of that understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start experiencing that understanding, you feel one with the entire creation.
And that experience Swami gives to us.
Absolutely.
We cannot attain it with our efforts actually. It's
impossible.
Not possible. Impossible.
Yes. Mm.
If you really, even Sai Prasad, if you see, look at yourself, or I look at myself, see the condition of your own evolution when you came here first, raw Sai Prasad, raw Srinivasa, and what we are today.
Mm.
How we have progressed in accordance with our nature, nothing is imposed on us. And how beautifully he has evolved us and refined us. We are still a work in progress only, but still. But all this is possible only for one you call God. It's not possible with our efforts. In spite of us, we are evolving actually.
Very true.
We are working against ourselves.
We are the biggest obstacle.
Yes. And he knows that very well. Nobody knows it more than Swami actually. That's why he puts up with us. And his commitment is such actually to each one of us who is here and who is not here also. Once he is committed, particularly the students, they are his property, he said, he is committed till the very end and beyond this life. So whatever happens to man since birth, be it education or building various relationships as he grows, all these are not of any use for his spiritual progress. Actually, we build mansions over burials of others. Thinking that we are going to live on, but least realizing that we will also be mud one day actually.
Correct.
None of these things, actually we eventually what happens? They all become mud. Sometimes I wonder actually, Swami's greatest devotees are also confined to mud finally. He did not even want that they should sing his glory, record the glory and go. He did not even bother about individual growth is more important for him than his glory.
Absolutely. In fact, you have hit the nail on its head right here in Radio Sai, here in this corner, when Swami came in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
That beautiful statement which Swami made. He says, this work which you are going to do, which you all are doing, like see, we think we are doing the media work of Swami and we are the torch bearers or the messengers of Swami. In one sentence, he just poured cold water on all that. He said, ee paniki naaki sambandham ledu.
Oh my God.
He said that. Right here, he was sitting, ee pani naaki akkar ledu. See, the beauty in Swami is that level of selflessness. No other ashram I would just say, if anybody who is looking for publicity, they would say, first department in the ashram will be media department.
Yes.
And this Swami never encouraged.
Yes.
This was because the World Space had offered this channel. Swami said, okay, because students are there, he gave us an opportunity. When he came here, in this very place in Radio Sai, he said, ee paniki naaki sambandham ledu. Kani, if this work is helping you to put my teachings into practice,
cheskondu bangaru. Yes, he was very particular.
That's all. Practice, practice, practice.
One spoon of cow's milk is better than 100 barrels of donkey's milk. Very unrelentingly he will repeat this. I want only quality and not quantity. I want you to practice and not preach.
Yeah, much as we don't practice everything that we say on air, but we are in that process.
Like last time I said, even one thing if you practice, mm-hmm. that will satisfy him. Because that one thing actually helps you to refine the other aspects of your life also.
Very true.
So practicing, once you practice, you see the other one, you won't go wrong.
Mm. Practice completely.
Yes, practice completely. Mm. It percolates your entire daily living. Mm.
So, I think overall, if you see this chapter,
yes,
Swami says that the human birth, mm-hmm. human birth is definitely given for this purpose. Mm-hmm. And that purpose is to understand who we are, understand mm-hmm. the truth, and try to go back to the truth.
Yes.
And try to connect back to the truth. And he says, if initial part of the paragraph, he says, if you have doubts, if you are not clear, you can approach people who mm-hmm. have seen the truth, who have experienced yes. the truth. And learn from them. And that's how mm-hmm. last time we discussed about
yes.
Guru and Sadguru.
Even that guidance also Swami gives you actually.
Right.
Who you should go to. Mm. It is decided by Swami.
True.
Having come to him, even if you have not told him of your dilemma or your problem, it's not required. He knows your requirement and accordingly he will guide you.
Beautiful. Absolutely.
I have seen this.
It's the experience of so many people.
Yes.
And so he says, you go, and then once you get that guidance, you have to constantly keep practicing with heart, discipline and practice. See, I think the moment your love and intensity is so high, mm-hmm. nothing is hard for you.
Mm.
Because the moment that love, that burning love is there to know the truth, to be mm-hmm. one with Swami, to experience that love of Swami, mm-hmm. automatically, you know, what people perceive as hard, difficulties and all that just fall away.
Mm-hmm.
So, when Swami is saying that for the sake of this realization, man should have deep yearning and hard discipline practice.
Mm.
In other places, he has said, the moment you have that burning love, everything else is taken care.
Yes.
And then he says, he goes on to say that, you know, having got this human birth, like which is like a jewel in your hand, you should not let it pass.
Mm.
And then we come to this, to the session of what we were discussing today, about how do you sanctify time, and mm-hmm. every moment you'll have to be constantly aligned. Mm-hmm. In fact, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa used to say, just like a mother, mm-hmm. wherever she is, whatever she is doing, her mm-hmm. mind is on the child.
Correct.
And he also used to give the example of a lover.
Mm-hmm.
He says, wherever the lover is, mm-hmm. his or her mind is on the beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Same way, mm-hmm. whatever you're doing in life,
mm-hmm.
wherever you're doing, whatever you're doing, if you're, you know, your focus is on understanding the truth,
mm-hmm.
it's on going to the truth, automatically you will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, although today there is the poisonous attractions of the worldly luxuries,
mm-hmm.
if your aim is set on that, okay. you will progress towards that. And then he goes on to this thing that everything else is of no consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Your education, your relationships, and you know, what you think is very big in this world, ultimately in the spiritual realm, that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in one of these chapters, Swami said, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he could not even say pension. He said, my
pencil.
Pencil.
Yes.
So he said, yes. he could not even pronounce pension.
Yes.
So he says, that is the whole purpose of this life is to attain that truth. And he says, living in synchronicity with that truth is the only reason why you're, that is the real living. He says, so the characteristic of a sadhaka is to attain attainment of the truth, not the search of unreal in this evanescent world.
Actually, we live in this world and search for truth in the external world.
Mm.
But actually the truth is in you. I remember one quote of Saint Francis who says, what you're searching for is already where you are searching from.
Oh, beautiful.
See, you're guided outward because of your senses tuned to outward.
Mm.
But actually you have to go within.
Mm.
Don't look for the truth in the outside evanescent world. Look within, everything is inside.
In fact, Dr. John Hislop asked Swami, Swami, you are saying this world is like a dream.
Mm.
This life is like a dream. Everything is a dream. But you are also in this.
Mm.
So are you also a dream?
Oh.
Yes. He asked Swami.
Okay.
And Swami said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
This form is also a dream.
Yes.
But I am like the dream lion.
Oh.
He said, with my roar, I wake you up to the truth.
Oh, gosh.
How beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is a dream. This body
See,
is a dream.
Actually, one more thing I'll tell you. My mother was very sad because of loss of one son, my younger brother.
Oh, okay.
And any number of ways Swami tried to console her, she was inconsolable. Then Swami said, see, when I am telling you he has merged in me, why are you not believing? Why I am saying this is because of this, what follows now, what Swami said. Swami was still below 60 at that time. And Swami said, Amma, there will come, he pulled his robe on his chest out and said, Amma, there will come a time when even this body I will have to cast.
Wow.
Even Swami himself will be leaving the world. He has revealed to her at that time itself.
Mm.
And Swami was so clear about it.
Mm.
It's not as though because he is the eternal truth, he is going to live on in the body. No.
Mm.
He had to show this example to us that one has to leave one day.
Mm.
Of course, we are nobody to talk anything about Swami.
Mm.
But by way of example, when Swami said about himself, when you say Swami is also part of this dream.
Correct.
He lived this way for our sake only.
Exactly.
To demonstrate to us the truths he talked about. What we have to go through, he had undergone.
Correct.
Even the physical suffering also. Anybody could have said, what is for Swami? He doesn't have a hip fracture. An old man would have said. And he has shown how to suffer a hip fracture and still not leave your job and duty.
Correct.
Even in all that painful conditions, painful to us, he had shown how to transcend the body and its pains. You have seen how his feet used to be swollen.
Right.
Seated in one position, and he will not even allow the feet to be moved by the boys sitting around him, because he is so focused on giving himself to the devotees, and how he has strained for our sake, and the joy he gave to us even in that condition.
Absolutely.
We were still hankering after him for our little things only. What little we can extract the last minute, till the last minute.
No, but what you said is so beautiful, because he lived it.
Yes,
you know, by living that.
Yes.
And today when you read what Swami is saying here, it's not that the truth is something abstract.
Mm-hmm.
It is not that, you know, there is a truth, a realization which you will gain because of your efforts, and it is something abstract. The moment you are in sync with Swami, the moment you are in sync with Swami and you believe that Swami is the truth and Swami has shown us the way, I think that is the purpose of everything,
yes,
isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, I agree with you. Because it's not as though, you know, that if we read the scriptures, we don't understand. Swami knows very well, he will not understand.
Mm.
He has given himself, presented himself so well to us that just by seeing him, singing his name, all these are taken care.
Everything
One
is taken
need
care.
Not even know, read these books also.
Absolutely.
That is the benefit of having lived with Avatar and found Avatar in our life.
So beautiful. Yes, absolutely.
I have not read even a single book, frankly speaking, except a few here and there. But I have grown.
Correct.
In understanding. How did it come?
Just follow. Just follow. And literally, if you see, we have been spoon-fed. All of us have been spoon-fed with all the things, whatever Swami has written here.
Yes.
See, in a very simple way, Swami says you should put in the effort you should put in. Just think of the hostel days. When you are doing something for Swami, you are doing sports meet day and night, you are doing.
Yes.
For what? Just to bring a smile on Swami's face. You easily go beyond, you know, the wants of sleep and food and this. There's so many. And in those days, you remember when students feel that Swami is not speaking to them. Some of them will just, you know, start keeping silence. They will skip food sessions so that Swami will come and...
Oh my God. Any number of such instances. How boys pine for Swami.
Right.
when he doesn't talk to you, when he doesn't look at you, the anguish one undergoes is only the person knows.
Correct.
Because that is the bhakti margam.
Correct.
All these margas actually we have gone through, karma margam, bhakti margam, jnana margam. Everything he has given just with, by experiencing with him, living with him. Every act, every gesture, every moment we spent with him, all this helped us to grow in this direction.
Absolutely.
Everything you read today comes into your living experience. Oh yes, I have gone through this already.
And you know, so many sentences, so many things Swami tells here and there, suddenly it falls into a place.
I just can't but quote again what Swami said, that you will not know the value of what I have given. You will know the value of what I have given only when these seeds that I have sown into you blossom at later date. And maybe I can end even saying once, once he said, see, there will come a time when you will recall talking about me.
Oh.
And I will not be there.
My God.
He said, you will be recalling talking about me with tears in your eyes and I will not be there. Nundane, he said. What he has given and what he has left for us, for the benefit of few souls, what he has gone through. But at the same time, it benefits the entire world. It's not just a few individuals.
Correct.
But we become examples, good or bad, both ways. Everything is example for him.
So beautiful, sir. So beautiful. Anyways, I think...
So wonderful to go through this scripture, actually.
And I think it's like the fulfillment of what Swami has written. Basically, this kind of recollection of living with Swami is a fulfillment of every line that you read here.
Yes.
And it's so beautiful. I think every listener who has lived with Swami or, you know, pined to be close to Swami or heard the experiences of devotees can relate to all this.
Correct.
Can relate to all this. And for those who are coming for the first time to him, for those who are, that is also his will that they should come now. And it is so amazing that he reaches out in his own way.
Yes.
There are so many ways. You can never say that, you know, those who are coming now, they are getting less than what we got at that time.
No, no, no. We can talk so much about this sometime later.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
That warranties for another session with
yes,
you.
Yes, yes, yes. No, really. If I start now, I will not be ending it.
I think
and it's time for us
we
to
have
actually
to,
wind
yes,
up.
It's actually time for us to wind up. Yeah. Dear listeners, as always, you know, we can go on and on about each topic in this book. And since the time is running, now we have to come, we have to end this session here. But if you want us to summarize this entire chapter in one sentence, Swami says the purpose of human life is to achieve that truth, to realize the truth. And there is no difference between that truth and Bhagawan. Bhagawan is the truth,
yes,
that's all.
Yes.
So once we are in love with Bhagawan and once we experience his grace, I think that is the whole purpose of human life.
Perfectly, sir.
So I think that is the summary of this chapter. So dear listeners, if you have any points you want to add or if you have any doubts or if you have any suggestions, please write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you so much for your patient listening and please share your experiences if you have any in trying to put these teachings to practice. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.